party to all the women up in our area who'd been bringing me beautiful vegetables from their gardens and doing anything, sending up their little children to wash my dishes for me. At the end of the day, I would pile them up in the sink, and one woman had three little girls, and they'd scramble up the hill and wash all my dishes and mop my floor and get everything all clean for 25 cents each and just adore it. Well, so I decided I'd give a party to eight of these hillbilly wives, and they all came with their home house dress all starched and ironed and looked nice, and they sat around the room just like images. They didn't want to talk. They'd never been to a party before, and they just sat there. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? And I remembered I had a book. It's a magazine that has gone out of print since. I think it was called Comet or something like that. And on the way up, I had read this story, and it was called Have You Slept With My Husband? And it was the story this woman wrote about a husband that had nightmares in his bed all night. And he would rise up in the middle of the night, rise up, and all the bedding would go up in the air, and then dive down into the middle of the bed. And she described this experience in detail. And, of course, most of these women had shotgun marriages. They'd all had shotgun marriages. And most of them had had a baby every year for 10 and 12 years. So they knew all about husbands in bed. So I said, I've got a story to read you about husbands in beds. Oh, and they kind of looked around like this, you know. And I started to read the story, and then they started to giggle. They didn't want anybody to sit down. They didn't want anybody. Is that all right? Okay. Mm-hmm. They didn't want anybody to see they were laughing. Finally, they just gave up. They didn't hide their faces anymore. They just gave in and bellowed. And the story got funnier and funnier, what she did with this husband in these wild nights and how she had to handle the situation. And it got worse and worse all the time. And by the end of the story, they were practically hysterical. They had never laughed before. They didn't know how to laugh. And they were in complete hysterics. And one of them was clutching at her breast like this because she hadn't brought her baby and it was full of milk. And they always fed their babies whenever they got full of milk. Any time, any hour that the baby wanted milk, they'd give them milk, you know. And I saw her clutching this breast, and I said to her, you are worried about your milk? And she said, well, yes, frankly, I'm in pain. I said, come out in the kitchen, I'll fix you. And she came out, and I knew how to milk breasts, because I'd milked my own when I had children. And I milked both of her breasts and got the milk off, so she wasn't in agony with this excess milk, you see. Well, was she impressed? Was everybody else to think this city woman would come up there and milk her breast and get her free of this milk? And they were still laughing. They couldn't stop laughing. They had never laughed before in their lives, I don't believe. And then I went out and got the dessert, you know. And they kept saying to me, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. Oh, wasn't that funny? And then they'd laugh some more. And after that, every time I went up there, I'd meet one of those women, and she'd come up and say, wasn't that the funniest story you ever heard in all your life? And the whole countryside was told the story, and all the husbands were told it. And never again did I need any more groceries or things from gardens. I barely fit there. Then they were streaking up the hill with beautiful cabbages and sweet potatoes and tomatoes and all these lovely vegetables. And so that's how I gave a party to the hillbillies in the Shenandoah Mountains.
That was good.
Well, anyway, the final conclusion is that my husband began to show signs of strain, and I knew we mustn't retire in Washington because the men that retire in Washington are not our husbands. And the Washington climate is so hideous. It's hideous in the winter and it's hideous in the summer. And yet Perlmester said, Jesse, don't leave this place. You have just arrived. Your career is just made. Well, I said, if my husband has to get out of here, I'd rather have a husband than a career. And so we went down to Florida and thought we'd retire there, and we hated Florida. And then our daughter had come out to California. My sister was out here. And we came out and we decided to come. Now, up till this time, I had never done any cooking. I'd always had a professional, good housekeeper. We went into a little house, just the two of us. We didn't need a big house. In the first project in California, and that's interesting, we lived in the first project in London, England. The Hampstead Garden suburb was the first. And then in Washington, we lived in the first one in Washington, which was Foxhall Village. That was a project. And when we got to California, we went to Westmont, and that was the first project. We like projects because they're better built and more attractive. And we got a little house there, and I was suddenly impelled onto the kitchen stove if we were going to eat. Well, of course, Hugh had had a career. I had had a career. And do you know what it's like for two prima donnas to suddenly get bottled up in a little house? It's hell. That's what it is. So I decided my husband had to help me with this problem. So we went down one day shopping at the store. He was looking very bored to think he had to even do such a thing. And the minute we got home with our load of groceries, he beat it to his bedroom. So I went in and I said, it's 4 o'clock, we haven't had dinner yet. Aren't you going to help me with the groceries? And he said, what's the hurry? Well, the hurry is, I said in strong tones, we haven't had any dinner yet and the dinner's out in the car. And I want some help getting it in. And so very reluctantly he came, and so this prima donna and that prima donna were sunk. And so I decided to go into Papineau, who has the wonderful courses at the American Institute of Family Relations on marriage. And I decided our marriage was in trouble. Have I told you this story before?
We did cover part of that.
Yeah, well, anyway, I went in there and took the course, and I got him in there, and we got tested. And we found characteristics that we each didn't know we had, and we didn't know how to work those characteristics together. And Paul Poppin had told us to it, and we went back and started our marriage all over again.
You were 64 then?
I was more than that. We just had to begin all over again because our marriage was on the wrong foundation. And anyway, it worked. And in the process, he decided he wanted to go. He said, we better go to Mexico. We could help there. And the sister told him not to take me to Mexico. He'd get no rest. So he went by himself, and I stayed here and wrote my autobiography. And our marriage gradually sank into a good rut because we found a new religion in 1952, which we spent 18 years learning and studying and following, and it saved our marriage to 54 years, which it is today. It was a great marriage. I can't imagine a more wonderful marriage than that. Because we were matured when we married, we had found our identities, we carried on with our own talents, and yet at the same time, we had the kind of creative imagination that we both would try new things. Hugh would not sit in a room and say, I won't do this or that. He was ready to try anything, and that was one of his great assets. And so I think we had a historic marriage. And I'm very proud to think that I had that marriage with such a brilliant husband. He was more brilliant than I in many ways. I could have never accomplished what I did in my life and with my life without his help. And I like to feel that I added to his life by making it comfortable without tension, with rest and relaxation, so that he could stand the terrible strain involved in working for Uncle Sam. And anybody that thinks that Uncle Sam is a cinch to work for is mistaken. It's the hardest, most pressing kind of labor you can have, yet the most exciting and the most creative and the most satisfying. So that's the end.